Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coffee Time at the Water's Edge. Today, we have Dr. Stephen Roby and Pastor Adam Rastetter in the house. I'm Rodney, and we are going to be answering a viewer question. Okay. Now, I know now, here's the thing. Steve said that this was only going to take us 15 minutes to answer. I say challenge accepted. So, but anyways, no, you guys, if you guys hear rain in the background, it is storming outside and we really don't have a choice on that. We're recording today and today is it.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, Steve, what coffee are we drinking?
You know, we pulled out all the stops today. We have what we affectionately refer to as church coffee.
My favorite.
It's a mystery. Joking. You don't know what it could be. It could be Maxwell House.
It could be
Folgers. It could be Dunkin' Donuts. It's mystery coffee.
But like when it comes out of that church coffee pot, it's all the same.
It's
like,
transformed.
No matter what.
It all tastes the exact same.
It's my favorite. Yeah. It is.
It's transformed from one degree of glory to another.
Mm-hmm.
Good old church coffee. Cheers, mates.
Yeah, my favorite. Confirmed.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not...
Right. Well, it does taste different when Rodney makes it sometimes.
Well, that's because I'm heavy-handed with the grinds.
He's like half of the container.
Yes. I look, United States Navy, submarines, we make coffee so that you can stand the spoon up in it. That's just the way we are. All right. So we do have the viewer question today. And today, I think, gentlemen, I really actually like this question. Especially when it involves the fact that we're going to be talking about young people in the Bible, right? This comes from Christine, and it says, my 11-year-old loves Jesus. She loves exploring the Bible. Yay. She actually said yay in this. But she has mentioned wanting an NIV translation because it's easier for her to read. At WEC, we read the ESV translation. And it's my favorite based on its accuracy while also being readable. I'm conflicted because if an NIV gets her in the word more than her current ESV, then it's good. But I don't want her to be misguided on some language and phrasing choices I've read in the translation. What are your thoughts on different translations of the Bible and where new Christians should start?
Start with the Hebrew and the Greek text. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
For 11-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the question. I think it is important. And so just the way we've approached this in our home is when we read together, we want to read the same version because we read the Bible together out loud. And so it's preferable if we're all looking at the same thing then. So in that case, because the ESV is my preferred translation, it's the one we use here at the church. That's the one where I want us to memorize scripture. We use that as a family reading devotions. However, if my kids want to read the NIV in their private, you know, reading or devotions, I'm totally okay with that. And so I do think there's a difference there. So it's like on one hand, you have like scripture memory and you have family devotions where you're reading out loud. And then you have your personal sort of preference as you're privately reading. And so right. I would distinguish between those. And that's what I would do in this case, just personally.
Praise the Lord that she's wanting to read the Bible, you know, so that's really the key there. Yay. You know, and that's such a wonderful thing. And I think there is some truth that some versions are going to be a little easier to read than others. And we can get into the different ways that the Bible is translated. But I think that if somebody's interested in reading the Bible, you know, the NIV version, go for it. Like, yes,
yeah,
read it. You know, if you find it helpful, and even you know, for me, you know, I might say it's very minorly easier. So I don't know how much easier, but if in your mind you think it's easier and you feel better about it, probably good.
Yeah. I've said many, many times, the best translation is the one that you read.
That's right.
Yes.
Like, we want people to be in the Word, knowing there are obviously some differences and there's a reason I prefer some over the others. Absolutely. But to get in the Word is for sure. And I've graduated, like, I've changed over time. Like, as a new Christian, I read the NIV. That was what was given to me. I didn't know the difference between translations.
Which is actually the most common handed out and most popular translation out there.
Yeah.
So.
But I moved from that to a very more wooden translation and the New American Standard when I went to seminary.
Yeah.
So it was, there was a vast difference. And I'd memorized so much scripture in the NIV, like, it, then I had to go back and I was like reworking and re-memorizing scripture in a different translation. Then I moved to the ESV and I'm like, okay, like, it is hard if you're trying to, you know, capture it in your heart and to just, you know, keep that translation.
That's like the challenge of having so many available translations in English where there's other languages that have none. And it's like, what a blessing it is to have this many translations in our language. And when you were talking about just even in your family, you know, when you read together, it's nice to have the same translation. We do the same at Water's Edge, to where, you know, we use the ESV, and it's nice to have one translation that everyone can come around, and whether or not that's the one they want to use at home or, but it's nice to have that uniformity inside.
When
the
you're
church.
Reading together, and you want to be able to
look at the same words and not getting lost as you move through.
I think for me, I mean, I started out with an NIV, like almost everybody who is a new Christian, I think pretty much out there. However, I went through about three of them that I basically highlighted up and all that stuff like that and went through. I have one that was my standard underway Bible that I took with me all the time when I went out to sea. And those things are like, the covers are falling off of them because they were just so used back then. I think it was when I switched to doing my studies with the NASB that I really realized some of the major differences between what we do know is you have a word for word translation and a thought for thought translation. And so when we think about those two things, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's three basic translation philosophies. So what you're referring to is a philosophy of translation. And so that is to say, like, if you're like, you can just use common language, right? If I'm taking Spanish and I take this word and I want to make it its English equivalent, if you do that for every single word in a sentence and you keep it in the same order, it's not going to read intelligibly in English.
Right.
So there has to be some reworking of the words that is done to get it to capture the meaning of it. Otherwise, it's going to read really, you know, funny.
Your nouns and verbs and everything have to fit.
Yeah, because it's structured different, right? So you have subjects built into, you know, the verbs themselves and things like that. And so when you're talking about translating, there are essentially three philosophies when it comes to English Bible translations. You have, as you called, word for word. Scholars generally refer to that as essentially literal, right? So you're trying to be as literal as you can. And those tend to be very wooden readings, right? That's ESV is in that family. New American Standard that I referred to is in that family. The King James is in that family. New King James is in that family. So I refer to families because I have a English Bible family tree here. If people aren't familiar with that, I have a chaplain showed me this many, many years ago, not this exact one, but something like it, where you can see sort of all of the different families of translations, right? So like New King James is in the same family, obviously, as the Old King James or as the King James, et cetera. So this kind of maps out the year they were translated, et cetera, for all English versions that we have. But the second category, which you called thought for thought, is, you know, most scholars refer to as dynamic equivalence, right? So functional equivalence or dynamic equivalence. And that is, you're not paraphrasing, which is the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only a few of those out there. And generally, those were the ones I'd just say stay away from.
Yeah.
But the dynamic equivalents or functional equivalents, they do serve a purpose, because you're saying, okay, I know a literal wooden translation here isn't going to hit the same way that it hits in the original language. Mm-hmm. The challenge is there is some interpretive choices that have to be made when you do that. And so that's why people, you know, that are scholarly, that are studying, generally prefer the more essentially literal translations. So at seminary, the reason I switched in the first place is my seminary required New American Standard for study at the time. And then as I got towards the end of my time, I moved on to the ESV. But those are the sort of the three philosophies of it. So what you call thought for thought is, like, it's not a paraphrase, but it's looking at a sentence and saying, okay, let's capture this thought as it would have been felt and heard and understood by the original
right.
audience of this. And let's capture that in English. And it may not be the exact mm-hmm. literal translation. And so there, it has a place, but it is a little more dangerous, I think.
Yeah.
in some cases.
When you say thought for thought, is it more phrase for phrase? Is that not necessarily a large portion, maybe not even a whole verse, you know, but it's more, you know, here's a six or seven words and we're trying to give the best idea on what that. Yeah. I'm just saying thought for thought. When I hear that, I'm not always sure. Okay. Are you talking about, like, you know, I think the last one you talked about was just a paraphrase, the message and, you know, that are more just your own interpretations of a larger portion of scripture, but the thought for thought is more phrase for phrase.
It can be a sentence. It can be two sentences. You're capturing the thought of a mm-hmm. paragraph, let's say.
Okay.
But sometimes it could be a sentence, you know, sometimes it could be two sentences. You're trying to stay as true to the original hit of that in that language. And so, and because those tend to be most readable, that's why the NIV gained so much popularity when it hit, and a lot of churches adopted that for a lengthy period of time, depending on where you're from, I guess.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say a lot of churches. Yeah. A lot of churches that I know, typically the non-denominational world, jumped on that train.
And sometimes we hear, like, from critics of different translations, it's like, oh, well, you know, that there's some sort of agenda or something as they are in the way that they do their thought for thought, you know, but it seems like those instances are pretty rare, that they're generally very faithful to the original.
I think in that part, it really depends on which thought for thought translation you grab.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there are some bad ones out there. I think for one of the things that I know that I do whenever I do study, because I do a lot of study at my computer now. And so I use the Logos software right now, and I'll bring up multiple translations. If I'm reading in my ESV something and I go, you know what, I just wonder what the King James says, what the NASB says, what the New Living Translation or whatever you may grasp out there, hold of, having that kind of software, it gives you the ability to kind of pull in all those different translations and look at them. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do either. And I'm not saying you should just go with the one you like the most, but essentially, to me, the NASB becomes more of my measuring stick, I think, when I study. So, but,
and that's a lot of academic work is done in the NASB for its precision.
Yeah, that's healthy. And so that's why when we're having this conversation, if we're thinking like an 11-year-old or, you mm-hmm. know, in this case, like, I'm not sure how much rigor and study they're doing. You want them to get the story of the Bible, you know, and its flow, and be familiar with the stories and the gospel and sort of these basic concepts. As we mature, we do want to study. And anytime we're going to engage in like more rigorous study, you would be sort of naive to not compare translations. Or even if you're equipped to do original language study, Greek and Hebrew, some portions Aramaic, that's why that stuff's important, because then you're not looking at one translation. You're looking at how all of these different scholars translated this. You're looking at the original, you know, the text that would be in Greek or Hebrew. And so that becomes more important when you're doing like precise theology and mm-hmm. you're really trying to exegete mm-hmm. scripture. But when you're doing devotions, you're probably not exegeting as much. You're reading it, you know, more for flow, and you're reading it for familiarity. And so when you do sermon preparation, like I've pulled Adam in on some of my sermon preparation weeks, I love to look at 5 or 6 different translations. Like I use King James, ESV, NASB, NIV, even the NLT, which is definitely one I don't recommend, but it's one that I'll pull in. Amplified Bible, which is a trip, because if you want some synonyms, you read the Amplified Bible, because it will give you words like it'll say the same thing 5 different ways in one sentence. And so, but I just think it's a healthy process to look at multiple things and then look. So when you're engaging in study, you're obviously going to do more.
Right. And like you said, for an 11-year-old, I mean, I don't know where an 11-year-old is specifically for reading. But I think as kids become older and they get into the teenage years, I think there is more possibility of having an understanding, especially if they are currently reading an NIV at 11 years old, at challenging themselves to look at something like, you know, the ESV, then the NASB, even, you know, and I think sometimes we need to challenge these young kids to move outside that box of where they think they should be, because hey, life's not easy, right?
Yeah, I mean it. You're thinking in that age, you know, you're using the Jesus Storybook Bible, and you know, and moving on from there, and you want to get into the Word. I would say that NIV is a fine choice. I think if you're looking in some of the ones you said are more just paraphrasing, and
I'd stay away from those
that are just really, you know, Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message, he even says, you know, that's not to be used on Sunday mornings. Like that even makes him like, no, this is not, it's probably shouldn't even be considered a translation of the Bible. It's more.
Yeah.
So, but yes, to have a translation that you're comfortable with and feel good about reading, you know, amen.
Yeah. And I thought to add, like, one of the things we talk about in our membership classes, just giving people familiarity with our church, when we go through our statement of faith, we talk about like categories of belief. Mm-hmm. It's not a biblical mm-hmm. framework, but it is a helpful framework when you think about issues that divide in churches. Mm-hmm. So we talk about primary issues, we talk about second order issues, and even third order issues. And so the way we categorize that is like primary issues are things that you cannot strip away. If you strip away any of these things, you no longer have the Christian faith, right?
Right.
The deity of Christ, God as creator, things that are essential to believe in order to be a Christian. And when you move into that second category, that's where you get things where like baptism or even church government, things that may divide local churches, but not necessarily church-to-church fellowship. You're not going to say they're not Christians because they don't believe this.
Right.
But it could divide church-to-church mm-hmm. or it could divide local churches up. Then you get into third-order issues, and that's where we say we would place Bible translation preferences in that third order. That should not divide churches.
No.
That should not divide church-to-church fellowship. I know some people have done that. You have KJV-only churches. That's not a hill we're going to die on. Absolutely not. And so we would put that in the third tier category. So if you're at Water's Edge and ESV may not be your preferred translation, that's quite okay with me. However, that's just the one that for consistency, that's the one we read as a church.
And have as our pew Bibles.
Yeah. And that's why, because we tell people to pull out the Bible, take a look at it.
Right now. Yeah. Whenever I hear the term, you know, King James only, I just there's a couple good books out there about that, right? I mean, one specifically I know by Dr. James White, if you do have interest in reading why it's not correct. So do you guys have anything else on this topic?
I don't believe so.
You're good?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
I hope this answers that question, and I hope that
the one that's in your home.
Yeah. Yeah, read the one that you have. Start there. Mm. But like she said in her question, you know, yes, NIV is perfectly fine. So especially for an 11-year-old.
Amen.
I would say that that's probably beyond where I was at reading. And
I think the NIV has a seventh grade reading level, if I'm not mistaken. Because you can find categories of that. Like King James is the highest reading level. It's like a 12th grade reading level.
Yeah.
I think New American Standard, ESV, are like a 10th grade reading level. And so there are recommendations based on that.
Right.
I don't know how much stock you want to put in that. It's something I came across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good advice, though. Good thought. All right, guys. I think that's all we got on this topic today. So we hope everybody enjoyed the topic. Hope you learned something. And if you have not done so yet, make sure you like, subscribe, and click that bell so that way you know when we put out new material. Like I said,
ding.
Yes. Like I said last week, make sure that you do click the notification bell because there have been some people who've said that they have not seen us on their YouTube feed. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a review. We do want to know how we're doing, and it will also help push us through the algorithm, especially if you give us 5 stars. Five stars. So, and also that includes Spotify. You can go ahead and click those 5 stars on Spotify to help us out also. If that gentleman is all you have, I think we are good to go.
My heart is clear.
Your heart is clear. Adam, is your heart clear? All right. Go in peace. Thanks, Adam. We love you all, and God bless.
Peace out.